Now we'll commence our meeting this evening by singing the words of hymn number 137, 137. Calvary's cross is to the sinner all his hope and all his stay. Hoary head or young beginner, rich or poor may come today. Calvary's cross, the only refuge. Calvary's cross, the only plea. Calvary's cross, O blessed shelter, on it God's salvation see. Now, if it's convenient, we'll stand to sing 137.
Calvary's cross is to the sinner.
Shall we open our meeting in prayer? Our God and our Father, we draw near to Thee again this evening. We thank Thee that we're still in a day of grace, and another opportunity is given for the Word of God to be opened and for the Gospel to be proclaimed. And we pray, Father, that as the Word of God is spoken this evening, that it will indeed, Father, bring about the salvation of precious souls. This is the reason, Father, for our meeting tonight, to share abroad the good news to men and women, boys and girls. There's a God who loves them, a God who sent his Son to die for them, and a God who is not willing that any should perish, but that all may have their sins forgiven. Help, Father, this evening that the reality of sin, of its consequences, may grip the souls of those who are not saved, that they might come to realize their need of a Savior, that they might come to realize that by themselves they're condemned already, that they have no hope of ever being in heaven. But help them, Father, to dwell tonight upon the love of God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We pray, Father, that as they would be drawn to thy Son this evening, that they might realize what the Lord has done for them, that the tremendous price that he has paid, that they might be saved. Help them, Father, to dwell upon thy Son. Help them, Father, tonight to get to Calvary. Help them to think upon what Calvary was all about. And oh, that tonight it may dwell upon their soul and come before them as never before, that Jesus died for me. Father, we look to thee for help. We know that it takes a work of God. And we look to thee tonight, Father, that whether here in the hall or in the homes of those who have joined online, that there might be souls that will be spoken to by thy Holy Spirit, and that there will be rejoicing in heaven and in here in Newton Breda over souls being reached and saved. Wherever the gospel goes forth today, we pray, Father, for blessing. We pray that the seed will fall upon good ground. We pray, Father, there will indeed be souls reached and saved. We commit ourselves to thee, and we look to thee for help this evening as we leave ourselves in thy care. Amen. Now, we're very glad to see everyone here in the hall this evening. And for those who have joined us online, well, we're glad that you've joined. And we trust that all will be blessed for being under the sound of the gospel. We live in a world where many people will go to many attractions and to many things, and very few will come to hear the gospel. So we trust and pray that each will be blessed for being here this evening. So you're all very welcome, and we make some announcements in the mind and will of God for the incoming week. This week, Monday to Friday, there will be open-air gospel meetings. We meet in the hall at 7 p.m. for a time of prayer, and then we go out into Beaver and to Milltown and to Purdiesburn to preach the gospel. And tomorrow night we'll be in Downhill in the Beaver Estate, and then in Purdiesburn Village will be our second venue. Then on Thursday there will be a prayer meeting at 8 p.m. Please note the change of time for this week to accommodate the openers. At 8 p.m. will be the prayer meeting. Next Lord's Day, the breaking of bread at 11. The prayer meeting at 6:30. And the gospel again at 7. And the speaker expected next Lord's Day is Daniel Gordon from the Eden Derry Assembly. And of course, everyone is made very welcome to these meetings, and they're made in the mind and will of God. Now, I want to turn to John's Gospel this evening for a number of short readings. If you can turn to John's Gospel, please. The first reading is in chapter 18, John's Gospel in chapter 18. And verse number 1, John 18, verse number 1. And when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into which he entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Over to John 19. The final three readings will be in John 19, various verses in this chapter. So the first is in verse 13, John chapter 19, verse 13. When Jesus therefore heard that, when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover in about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Back, please, to verse number 1. Verse number 1 of the same chapter. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote him with their hands. And finally, verse 17, for our final reading, verse 17. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. Now we trust that God will bless the reading of his own precious word. It was encouraging in the prayer meeting this evening that it was mentioned that the Lord Jesus Christ is the center of the message that we speak in the gospel. And it is him I want to think about in the short time that we're here this evening. The Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. Because he's the only one who can save. He's the only one who can remedy our great disease of sin and make us right for heaven and for home. And so if you're ever going to be in heaven, you need to come to know him. You need to come to trust him as your Savior. And we want to think about him this evening in the meeting. As we grow up and go through this life, there's things that we please us. There's things that sadden us. And how people interact with us at times can please us and sadden us. And we don't like to be betrayed. That's one thing I want to think about tonight. We don't like to be betrayed. We also don't like to be rejected. Maybe at school, and some of the boys and girls, and they go off with their own wee group and you're excluded. We don't like to be rejected. In whatever stage of life we are, we don't like to be rejected. We also don't like to be humiliated, to be brought very low, to be made fun of, or people to make comments about us. We don't like to be humiliated. Neither do we like suffering. We don't like suffering. Pain and suffering is something that we try to avoid if we all can. But tonight, as I think about the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you just to think about this, that he was betrayed. He was also rejected. He was humiliated. And he suffered. Either one of these four things, we don't like them to happen to us. But imagine all four of them in the course of this couple of chapters in John's Gospel, and all four of them are true of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I want to bring before you tonight as we think of these things and lessons that we can learn from them tonight is, I want you to remember tonight that he was betrayed, he was rejected, he was humiliated, and he suffered for you and for me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, and the purpose of him coming into the world was to go to Calvary and to suffer all of these things, in order that men and women, boys and girls, could be reached and saved. And that includes you tonight. That is the hope of the gospel. That's the good news of the gospel. That the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to suffer, to bleed and to die, that you might be saved. Let's look at these four things and learn some lessons this evening as we think of the Lord Jesus Christ and these things that he went through. He was betrayed. Who betrayed him? Well, we read who it was. Judas, which also betrayed him. One of his own disciples. One who had seen the miracles that he had done. Seen his perfect life. Witnessed all that the Lord had done. And yet, the day came when Judas had a decision to make. And there was the Lord Jesus on one side, and on the other side was 30 pieces of silver. For many in the hall tonight, that's not a very hard decision to make. For those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, it is absolutely no contest. The Lord Jesus Christ would be the answer all the time. But for a man who had witnessed all that the Lord had done, and yet he made the wrong decision. He put more value in 30 pieces of silver than he did in God's blessed Son. And we can look at that and we can read the consequences of what happened and how he realized when it was too late that he had done something terrible, and he came and he threw those pieces of silver that a while before he cherished so much that he was prepared to betray the Lord Jesus Christ, and he went out and he hung himself. And we see a man and we see that he made the wrong decision and that his values were wrong. And he betrayed one who he should never have betrayed. And as we think of that tonight, can I challenge each one in the meeting and those who are online, what do you value most? Where do your values lie tonight? For many tonight, they don't apply to coming to hear about God's Son. If people valued the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he did on the tree at Calvary, this hall could not accommodate all who would come tonight. And there's been times in history past, in the revival and other times, when halls and churches have been packed, when people under conviction have come and they have realized the value of the Lord Jesus Christ. But not thinking about the people all around us tonight, just thinking about you tonight. What is your value of the Lord Jesus Christ? You may say, I would never do what Judas did. I would not betray the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. But dear friend, the challenge to you tonight is, what do you value most in life? What value do you put on your soul tonight? A soul that will exist through all eternity. And as we sing with the boys and girls, I have a soul to be saved. May this truth be engraved on my heart and my mind while I'm young. Oh, how awful the cost if my soul should be lost, and in hell if I die as I am. What do you value most tonight, dear friend? Is it career? Is it having a good time? Is it following the pursuits of the world? Do you put more value upon those things? Some things are very legitimate. Maybe pursuing a career and getting a home and being well sorted financially in this world, that's your goal. But dear friend, value that against having your soul saved and being in heaven for all eternity. And unfortunately, many people in the world tonight choose the world. Choose the material things of the world. Choose the pleasures of the world instead of what is most important upon their soul. And so tonight, as we think upon Judas and think about a man, and he made a terrible mistake. And we trust that if you're not saved tonight, that you will not be like a Judas. That you will not put more value on material things of this world, but rather that you'll put value upon your soul and upon your soul's salvation for all eternity. The betrayal. The Lord knew all about the betrayal. He knew in eternity past that Judas would betray him. But yet he came. He suffered the betrayal because his goal was to go to Calvary to save your soul. Rejection. We read in John chapter 19, there verse 13 to 15, about the people. And as Pilate brought the Lord before them, Pilate said, "Behold your king," and they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him. We will not allow this man to reign over us. We have no king but Caesar." Rejection. We don't like rejection, sure we don't. Somebody rejects us, it hurts. It gives us pain in our soul when somebody rejects us and turns their back upon us and doesn't want anything to do with us. The Lord suffered rejection. But he was prepared to suffer rejection for you and for me. And as I thought about this rejection, it just brings before me how terrible sin is and the consequences of sin. And I just thought about this crowd. The creatures of God's own hand. And they're saying, "Away with him. Crucify him. We don't want him." And as I thought about that, my mind went back to the Garden of Eden. And we read there about how Adam and Eve, in the cool of the day, they walked with the Lord God. I tried to picture what that must have been like. A perfect world. I just thought about Adam and Eve. How they must have looked forward as the day came to a close, knowing that the Lord God was going to come into the garden just to commune with them, just to walk with them, just to have conversations that were pure and were spiritual, and how it must have been a beautiful experience. And yet, here's descendants of Adam and Eve. And what are they saying about God's Son? Crucify him. Take him and crucify him. Give him the most terrible death that was available at the time. Give it to him. We don't want him. What's the difference? Sin. For as by one man, sin entered into the world, so death came upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death. Dear friend, this evening I challenge you. I've challenged you about what you value most. But I challenge you this evening about your sin. Your sin will keep you out of heaven. Your sin will condemn you to hell. Because heaven is a place that is holy, spotless and pure. And not one sin will ever enter there. And tonight, dear friend, I asked you, have you done anything about your sin? Well, you may say to me, "Well, I know when I read the news and I listen to the news, I watch the news, and there's people that come up on the news and they've done terrible things that I would never ever think about." Dear friend, as far as God's concerned, they're all sins. And it says in the Word of God that the very thought of foolishness is sin. And so, dear friend, before a holy God, maybe you live an upright and respectable life. Maybe you don't cause anybody any harm. Maybe you never come into contact with the law. You always keep on the on that side of society that are clean and upright. But dear friend, you're still a sinner. And if you're ever going to be in heaven, you need to have your sins forgiven. We come to John chapter 19 again in verses 1 to 3. And then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. We don't like to be humiliated. We don't like people to make fun of us. We don't like to be standing there in a crowd and everybody round us laughing at us and us hoping that the ground would just open up and swallow us. It's not a very nice feeling. It'll leave us with a red face. It will leave us humiliated and feeling worthless. And yet, this evening, I want you to think about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he was willing to let the creatures of his own hands take him. Take him and spit in his face. Is there anything more humiliating? And then to hit him in the face, to put a crown of thorns and mockery upon his brow, to put on him a purple robe and to give him a reed, and to bow the knee in mockery. The hymn writer says about the Lord Jesus, "Wondrous thy humiliation to accomplish our salvation. Thousand, thousand praises be, blessed Saviour, unto thee." He was humiliated. Why? For you and for me. Dear friend, I challenge you tonight. Are you prepared to take the humble place? The Lord Jesus Christ took it for you. But are you prepared to take that humble place as a guilty sinner? Many people aren't prepared to do it. Many people still have that pride in their heart and they say, "Well, I'm not as bad as others. I will do my bit. I will try to get to heaven my way." But we have to take the humble place. We have to take the place as a guilty sinner without any hope, without anything to recommend ourselves, but just to come to the Lord Jesus just simply as we are, guilty and hell deserving. Are you prepared to take that place? Just remember what the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to go through that you might be saved. And finally, tonight, suffering. When they came to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. You know, the Romans had devised this form of execution, suffering, prolonged suffering. It was used as an example to any who would be so subordinate enough to rebel against Rome. At times the roads were filled with crosses and people hanging on them as an example to others. And it wasn't a quick execution. It was designed to cause the maximum suffering possible. And that's what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. They took him and they nailed him to a cross. Man devised and man extracted as much suffering as they could possibly inflict on the Lord Jesus Christ. They scourged him before they crucified him. The suffering was real. The suffering was evident for all to see. And they hung him upon a tree under the glaring noonday sun. And they watched him. They watched him suffering. But dear friend, when after man had done their worst that they could invent, the worst that they could inflict, God closed the scene in darkness. And the Lord Jesus Christ suffered like no man has ever suffered, as he bore the wrath of God for your sins and mine. Closed in darkness, man couldn't look upon it. We cannot begin to comprehend tonight what the Lord suffered. But what I want to bring before you is that the Lord there was suffering for your sins and mine. He was holy. He was perfect. He had not done anything wrong. And yet he was suffering what tongue cannot tell for you and for me. Dear friend, he cried, it is finished. We're so glad that his suffering came to an end. What did it mean? It meant that the price for sins had been paid. The punishment that was due for your sins and mine had been paid. And he could bow his head with confidence, give up the ghost, knowing that the price had been paid. He suffered. Eternity will never bring before us what the Lord suffered. But we're so thankful on that third and appointed day he rose from the grave. His suffering is over. The wounds of Calvary are still upon his body. They will be for all eternity. But he will never suffer again because the price has been paid. And tonight, dear friend, the challenge to you is, are you prepared to go on in your life not thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ? Because the reality of going on in a life like that is that you will suffer for all eternity under the wrath of Almighty God. Yet it need not be. The suffering has all been borne by the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust that you'll think upon these things. I trust tonight, if you're not saved, that you'll get occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ. That you'll think about his betrayal. And you'll put a value of what you cherish and hold most important. And I trust that you'll come to realize tonight that your soul is the most important thing in this world. That you'll consider the consequences of sin, how that man and woman could walk in the cool of the day with the Lord God and enjoy his presence to a world which we live in tonight where many deny the existence of God. Where many seek to go in an absolutely opposing direction from God's word and God's standards and God's morals. And it's all because of sin. I trust you'll realize tonight that that sin is inside each one of us, for we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. I trust tonight that you'll think about the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he let himself be taken by his own creatures and treated in such a cruel and cold-hearted manner. And I trust as you think about what he was prepared to do, that you're prepared to take that lowly place as a guilty sinner before God. And as you think tonight about his suffering and what the Lord endured on Calvary, may it come before you tonight that it was for me. It was because of my sins he suffered on that tree. What have we to do tonight? We can't do anything. We're guilty sinners. We are condemned already. But God has provided salvation through his Son. His Son has paid the price. What does he want you to do? He just wants you to accept it. He just wants you to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. As a poor guilty sinner, just come to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept what the Lord Jesus Christ has done on the tree at Calvary is enough to take away my sins. And God says in his word, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He's the only hope. We trust that we have sought in some small way to bring him before you tonight. Think about all that he went through, his betrayal, his rejection, his humiliation, and his suffering. And dwell upon it tonight, dear friend, and realize tonight that he did it for you. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank thee for the finished work of the cross. We thank thee for a risen Savior. We thank thee that his suffering is over. The price has been paid. The Saviour has rose victorious from the grave. May each tonight dwell upon thy Son. May each of us tonight, those who are saved, dwell upon him and appreciate him more fully. But for those who are not saved, that tonight that they will set aside the trifling things of the world and realize what's most valuable, their soul. Help them to realize the seriousness of sin. Help them to realize what the Lord was prepared to go through and the suffering that he endured that they might be saved. We look to thee for help. We commit ourselves to thee and thank thee again for all thy blessings to us. Amen. We thank thee again for listening to the gospel this evening. We're going to conclude the meeting by singing the words of hymn number 142, Christ the Saviour of sinners came into the world to save. Sing his glory, his worth, his fame, Jesus alone can save. We'll sing verse 1 and 2 of 142, remaining seated, and our meeting will be finished. Thank you.
Christ the Savior of sinners came to the world to save.
Jesus alone, Jesus alone, Jesus.